He looked up again, hearing his neck creak like hinges in an old door, and there, still miles ahead but now visible on the horizon, real as roses, was the top of the Dark Tower. That which he had seen in a thousand dreams he now saw with his living eyes. 60 or 80 yards ahead, the road rose to a higher hill with an ancient speaking ring moldering in the ivy and honeysuckle on one side and a grove of ironwood trees on the other. At the center of this near horizon, the black shape rose in the near distance, blotting out a tiny portion of the blue sky. Patrick came to a stop beside Roland and made one of his hooting sounds. "Do you see it?" Roland asked. His voice was dusty, cracked with amazement. Then, before Patrick could answer, the gunslinger pointed to what the boy wore around his neck. In the end, the binoculars had been the only item in Mordred's little bit of gunna worth taking. "Give them over, Pat." Patrick did, willingly enough. Roland raised them to his eyes, made a minute adjustment to the knurled focus knob, and then caught his breath as the top of the tower sprang into view, seemingly close enough to touch. How much was visible over the horizon? How much was he looking at? 20 feet? Perhaps as much as 50? He didn't know. But he could see at least 3 of the narrow slit windows which ascended the tower's barrel in a spiral. And he could see the oriel window at the top, its many colors blazing in the spring sunshine, the black center seeming to peer back down the binoculars at him like the very eye of Todash. Patrick hooted and held out a hand for the binoculars. He wanted his own look, and Roland handed the glasses over without a murmur. He felt light-headed, not really there. It occurred to him that he had sometimes felt like that in the weeks before his battle with Court, as though he were a dream or a moonbeam.